Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Repeat after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. You may take your seat. Anybody grateful for Jesus in this place? I'll try that again. Anybody grateful for Jesus? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad. All right, we got work today. And I have... I gave up trying to get through everything I have a long time ago. I really wanted to be done with Hebrews chapter 1 in January. It's March. And we still here. But oh well. We'll get there together. Amen. As we continue to work through this chapter, we just read a passage that reminds us of three words for me. And I'm going to go back through the passage, but allow me to lay some foundation. Three words I need to put before you that we use regularly, but that I'm going to challenge today, as we continue to determine the fact that Jesus is greater. Greater than what? The first word I want us to think about in our study today is the word dependable. Dependable. Go ahead, write it down. Dependable. Oh, I know what dependable means. Dependable, one who is able to be relied upon. One who is worthy of confidence. Dependable. One who is able to be relied upon. One who is worthy of confidence. Second word, reliable. Reliable. Sound like we in the spelling bee. Reliable. R-E-L. One who is consistently good. Listen, I'm doing it again. One who is consistently good in quality and performance. I got you. He said, can you repeat that, please? One who is consistently, say consistently. One who is consistently good in quality and performance. I'll give you another part. One who is fit to be trusted. One who is fit to be trusted. It brings me to our last word. Trusted. Watch this. One who is regarded as honest and sincere. I'll do it again. I love it. One who is regarded as honest and sincere. Let's go back to the beginning because some of y'all missed it. Dependable, one who is able to be relied upon, one who is worthy of confidence. Reliable, one who is consistently good. I could preach that. In quality and performance, one who is fit to be trusted. And then trusted, one who is regarded as honest and sincere. Now, some of us, as you're listening, you like, oh yes, praise the Lord. He apply those to Jesus. And we should apply them all to Jesus. We should also be able to apply them to us. But I'll talk about that Wednesday. We should be able to apply them to Jesus. But the problem, here's the issue, Vincent, is that we look at those three words through the lens of our own flawed experience. Watch. I should be able to apply those to Jesus, but I would like to argue, Elder Leela, that even when we apply them to Jesus, we are applying them in a flawed context. I don't get it, okay? Watch this. Our application of these words is often fueled by and connected to the works of Jesus. So we look at what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're gonna do. And we go, you're dependable, reliable, and trusted. All of that's true. But here's the problem. Jesus doesn't just do dependable things. He is dependable. It is his isness, right? Yes. His isness. Remember, his isness. Now, some of you are saying, that ain't good English. Neither was I am that I am. So I get to use, I hear you, his isness. He is dependable. He is reliable. He is trusted. He doesn't just do reliable things and do trustworthy things and do dependable things. The truth is, his character is dependable. It is who, not what. It's like the three Hebrew boys said it. They said it like this. He's able, even if he don't do it. In other words, the Hebrew boys had a revelation of the isness of God. His isness. They understood. Our worship has nothing to do with what he does. I'm not going to bow, not just because he does good. I'm not going to bow because he is good. I believe he is able, regardless of if I see his ability. So issue number one with how we apply these definitions is that we apply them to his works. But number two, I think is even more problematic, is that the foundation of our definition of those words is often based upon people, places, and things that we know. People who have failed to even come close to Jesus. Okay. All right. Y'all okay? Watch. We will call a job dependable if the employer has been in business for a long time and pays on time. There's our qualifications. You've been around a long time and you pay on time. This we would call a good, dependable job. That's a good, dependable job you got. They've been around for a long time. They pay the 1st and the 15th, every 2 weeks, whatever your cadence is, the 15th and the 30th, they pay on time. That's a good, dependable job. We will call, Chris, a car reliable. Listen, if it's only been to the mechanic with minor problems a couple of times over a 10-year span, we'll be like, oh, you got a reliable car. We get real excited about the reliability if when we took it to the mechanic, it didn't cost us a lot. Like, man, I've only had to put this car in the shop 2 times in the last 10 years, and it only cost me a couple $100 each time. It's a reliable car. We'll call a person trustworthy if we told them a secret and it didn't get out, even if the only help that the person gave us was to come into agreement with our foolishness when we needed correction. Question in here, quiet. Such a good friend. Told them all about my debauchery and they didn't even correct me. We call that loving. I call it hate. You don't love me if you won't correct me. The Bible says, we're just having a chat, he chastens who he loves. We bring these flawed humanistic definitions to Jesus. And when we do that, we minimize Jesus. We belittle Jesus. We even cheapen Jesus. Who he is and what he does now is viewed through the lens of our flawed experiences. So you make Jesus reliable like your car, dependable like your job, trustworthy like your cousin. And Jesus is sitting here like, wait. How you gonna make me dependable like your job when I have neither beginning of days nor end of life? How you gonna make me reliable like your car when I never have to go in for maintenance? How you gonna make me trustworthy like your friend when the reality is that I never, never, ever have a bad day? All of these scenarios point to our satisfaction over imperfection. Can I take my time? I'm going to. We're satisfied with imperfection. Excuse me. We ascribe a flawed understanding to God when he's perfect. We're satisfied with him being just as reliable as your car. Because if I get satisfied with God not coming through some of the time, I don't have to look at those times that he didn't come through and hold myself responsible. It's the car's fault. Oh, it done got quiet in here. My wife had, when we got married, This is a Sundance, wasn't it? Yeah, Plymouth, two-door Plymouth Sundance. Yeah, drive that little car. So two-door Plymouth Sundance, and I didn't know too much about nothing. And so we needed brake fluid. No, I take that back. We needed oil. It was oil. That's what it was. And I put the oil where the brake fluid go. I ain't got no problem talking about me. The oil light came on, and I was being a good husband. I lifted up the hood, and I got the oil. I knew what to get. I got the oil. It wasn't clearly labeled, at least to me. And I poured the oil where the brake fluid goes. And it drove. Thought I did good. One day, while driving, I start smelling something quite odd. Couldn't quite determine what this burning smell was. Drove a little while longer, and I got to my destination, and I got out, only to notice that the hubcap on said Plymouth Sundance had melted around the rim of the car, because oil and brake fluid are not the right thing to cohabitate. The viscosities of these two things do not align. And what had happened was the hubcap melted. Now, we would say, oh, car messed up. That's user error. Y'all see?
Yes, sir.
And so if I turn around and say the Plymouth Sundance was a reliable car, except for that one time where we had to replace all the wheels, flush all the fluids, and put new hubcaps all around it, new brakes. Except for that one time, it's real reliable. And then I ascribe that definition of reliability to God. Now I began to see God through the lens that I can somehow mess up God. That my intervention can cause God to break down. Where the truth is, you can't break down the kingdom vehicle. Before God allows you to do the wrong thing, He'll back up from you and show you that apart from Him, you can do no thing. But if I got my definitions messed up, I start ascribing the wrong. Are y'all walking with me so far? God is always, not most of the time, always dependable. Okay. God is always reliable, always trusted. Now I need to sit with this, because we say face value, Shan, amen. But not like people. The dependability of God and the dependability of your job is not the same dependability. Okay, watch. Put up Hebrews 1:8. Watch. It still ain't up there. She working on it. Hebrews 1:8. Watch what it says. While she's working, turn in your paper Bibles. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is for how long? Forever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of the kingdom. Wait a minute. Your throne is forever and ever. We see the word forever and apply that. Even when we hear the word forever, we go, okay, that's finite, because we apply forever to like the end of our life or like the end of the planet. And God is like, no, stop it. I'm not finite. From everlasting to everlasting, He's God. So when we start saying your kingdom is forever, stop thinking like till I die. Because he was here before we got here. And he gonna be here after we gone. And as a matter of fact, just to take it, go, put verse 10 up. Watch this. You, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. Now, if he laid the foundation, he had to be here before the foundation was laid. Because the creator don't show up at the same time as the thing he creates. You, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Stop. He was even around before heaven. We still ain't caught it yet. Somehow, in our little finite brains, we think that God was walking around heaven for some time. Then one day, in his great pontifical balcony, he decides, you know, let's go make some earth and some people. Right? I'm bored. That's not the way this worked at all. God, in his isness, had a throne which has no place to sit but in the middle of nothing. God is sitting outside of time, outside of space, outside of all things, and God, complete by himself, said, heaven, there you go. Earth, there you go. There is nothing that existed before him, and there will be nothing that exists after him. This means that when I start talking about God being dependable, like my job, that pays on time because it's been around for a long time. How long God been around? You laid in the beginning the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Put up verse 11. Watch this. Let's keep going. They will perish. Whoa. Wait. All that heaven and earth, it'll perish. But you remain. They'll become like an old garment. Verse 12. And like a mantle, you'll roll them up like a garment. They'll also be changed. But you're the same. You're the same. Your years will not come to an end. God ain't like us. So when God says everything's going to be all right, stop applying your definitions to him. When God said, y'all, Jesus, I got it. Stop worrying about it. We talking about a guy who sits outside of time. You giving God dates. Like, God, I need you to work it out by Friday. And God is responding in this house. What is Friday? Friday. You telling God, God, do it by the time I get 50. By the time I get 40, by the time I reach 60, and God is like, what is 60? What is 30? What is, God, make a way. He says, wait a minute, I've already made. Think about that language. I'm trying to get us together. Make a way. Everything that has already been made has already been made. You're asking God to make a way. And when you ask God to make a way, you're asking God to come out of the future to the present. There is no past tense in God. He's always everywhere at the same time. So you're asking God to enter back into creation, to recreate something he's already created, and to change the thoughts he has for you. God make a way. He says, if you just tapped in, you would figure out the way I already made. And you wouldn't have to ask me to make a way. Instead, you would say, God, put me on the way that you made. Excuse me, I'm sorry, God, for asking you to recreate what I cannot see. It's me, God, it ain't you. It's my finite eyes. It's my finite ears. It's my finite understanding. You've already done it. You've already made a way out of no way. You've already opened the doors. You've already changed it. In order for this verse to be true, he had to be here before we was here. But that means he was here before your problems was here. He was here before the diagnosis. He was here before they said it. He was here before the war. He was here before inflation. Amen. He was here before you got fired. He was here before the breakup. He was here before the divorce. He was here before they died. Come on in here. He's been here before the whole thing. That means he ain't surprised. We are. It's not like God is sitting on his throne like, man, whoo, let's see. Let me call a meeting of the angels. How y'all think? What y'all think we should do? Because that one took me. Wasn't ready for them to get sick. I don't know what we're going to do about it. Let's call in some angels. Let's have an angel meeting. See what we're going to do about this. His name is greater than the angels. This literally means that anywhere where he is greater than anything that we can put in that place. The Lord's dependability is outside our scope of time. There's never a time where he started. There's never a time where he's not going to be. God is, listen, always able. When all else fails, he's still here. Whew. When they leave, he's still here. When all others get to talking crazy, he's still here. Even when the world as we know it comes to an end, God gonna be like, I'm still here. His name is still greater. This allows two important truths. Are y'all getting this? Number one, everything must be placed in proper perspective. Come on, write it down. Everything. This is why we can read verses like, be anxious for nothing. And you go, oh, how can I be anxious for nothing? Because guess who we rely on? Not us. I got a lot to worry about if I got to rely on me. You might wake up tomorrow and your arthritis is kicking in. But I'm not, come on now. Okay, my destiny is not contingent upon my personal reliability. That is good to me. That ain't in my notes. My destiny is not contingent upon my personal reliability. My destiny is contingent upon the reliability of God. I don't get there because I'm good. I get there because he's good. So everything must be placed in proper perspective. No matter what, it's all good. Y'all missed it. Some of y'all, some of y'all been complaining over the last 30 days. Huh? You've been talking about this year ain't going the way it's supposed to go. This wasn't what I had planned. This wasn't my New Year's resolution. You better get it. It's all good in your spirit. No matter what. It's all good. I'm trying to figure out why you smiling. Because it's all good. It's all good. You got to run them it's and all together. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Seem like you always happy when you come to work. It's all good. Didn't you hear they was going to lay off the department? It's all good. Didn't you hear that they said that maybe we ain't going to have jobs next week? It's all good. Did you hear what they said? That they was going to downsize? Saw good. How am I going to make that happen? Saw good. What about when they leave you? Saw good. What about when they lie on you? Saw good. Saw good. Saw good. When they treat you bad, saw good. They stab you in the back, saw good. You sitting up there spending your mental energy on people, places, and things when God says, you better focus on me. I got this. You crying over stuff that is not dependable. You crying over things that are not reliable. You're crying over things that are not trustworthy. You got to go ahead and trust me, and then your tears will stop. Hey, you go ahead and rely on me, and then you won't be pacing the floor in the middle of the night. You go ahead and depend on me, and then you can get a good night of sleep. You turn out all your lights and say good night. I mean, get you a good old slumber. I'm trying to figure out why you sleeping so good, because it's all good. Ain't nobody got time to be worried about stuff that ain't dependable. Ain't nobody got time to be worried about stuff that's not reliable. Ain't nobody got time to be worried about stuff that's not trustworthy. Let me go ahead and make me a cup of tea and go on to bed. Night, night. Get your good robe out. See, y'all play too much. Get your good robe out. Get your tea. Get them toes. Doing all this stuff. Talking about you protecting your peace. Okay. Protecting your peace. You done put up all these barriers to protect your peace. When the Bible says that I'll give you perfect peace when your mind is stayed on me. I ain't got to protect my peace when I got perfect peace in him. That phone will ring and I'll look at it. Ain't even got to worry about that. I'm not having that call today. I'll pick up that phone at another time. Are y'all in this room? I said everything got to be in proper perspective. Number two, there is never a time where what they did will change what God can do. There's never a time where what they did will change what God can do. There's never a time where what they did will change what God can do. One more time. There is never a time where what they did, sitting up there, come on, they did it 20 years ago and you still ruminate on it. But they hurt me, but God saved you. But they left me, but God never left you. God is like, now you get giving them all that attention and giving me none. You done talked to everybody about them and can't talk to nobody about me. You saying you can't witness about my goodness, but you done witnessed to everybody about their pain. How in the world are you saying that you're an introvert when everybody knows what they did, but don't nobody know what God did? How is your mouth open about the enemy, but not open about God? If you can tell them how your baby daddy broke your heart, tell them how good God has been to you. If you can tell them how she was crazy, tell them how God never left you. If you can tell them how nutty your boss is, tell them how good the Holy Ghost is. You got a wide mouth for trouble and closed lips for goodness. Everybody in your circle know how much drama you've been through, but you can't tell nobody how good God has been. That's because you got to tell the truth to do that. I was sinking. You got to tell the truth about what you did. You got to tell the truth about how good God has been to you. See, when you telling the story of who hurt you, you get to be the victim. Oh, ho, ho, ho. But when you tell the story of God's goodness, you recognize that the reason you needed it is because, watch this, you did a bunch of stuff towards him. You're not the victim in this story. That's why you don't want to tell it, because you're the aggressor in this story. You were in sin. Y'all not in this room. You acted a fool. You had your back turned to God. And we don't like to tell stories where we the bad guy. Don't nobody want to tell the story when we the bad guy. Truth is, in the story of Jesus, we the bad guy. We are Barabbas. We're the one who got let go for Jesus to go to the cross. I'm the bad guy. Barabbas was guilty. Barabbas should have been on that cross. I am Barabbas. I'm the one that should have died, but he took my place. I am Barabbas. See, I'm not the good guy in the story, and neither are you. You don't like that story. You want to tell the story where you was the woe is you. But once you get to figuring out, hold on, God, you've been good when I wasn't good. Kind when I wasn't kind. Reliable when I wasn't reliable. Dependable when I wasn't dependable. Trustworthy when I wasn't trustworthy. You were there when I wasn't there for nobody. Grace when I had no grace. Mercy when I had no mercy. Clean when I was dirty. Stable when I was unstable. Good when I was bad. Up when I was down. Righteous when I was wicked. And I can't help but praise you. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Now, he's worthy. Glory. He's worthy. He's worthy. Now, I guess a few more things I'm going to say. As the preachers say, as I take my seat. I want to put some verses in perspective. Watch it. Proverbs 3. Put it up. Trust. It hit different, don't it? Like, wait. Trust in the Lord. My bad, God. I've been trusting in everything but you. With all, not some. Don't trust in him with your mind. That's fickle. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding, because your understanding don't work right. Your understanding ain't got good sense. Your understanding gets mad. Your understanding gets sad. Your understanding likes to act aggressive. Y'all see, y'all in here acting like y'all always been good. Some of y'all got some aggressive understanding. Any of y'all ever felt aggressive? Anybody ever make you want to act aggressive? Some of y'all lying. You gonna make me act aggressive. That little boy said, don't send me back to that camp. That camp make me act aggressive. Woo! And for some of y'all, that's why you don't go home, because home make you act aggressive. Work make you act aggressive. Certain people make you act aggressive. That's why you can't lean to your own understanding, because your own understanding will slap somebody. Verse 6, in all your ways, including your inboxes, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. He'll straighten you out. He'll reset the bone. If that one don't do it for you, Psalm 37, put it up. Trust in the Lord and do good. Watch this. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Verse 4. Come on. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Huh? Delight. Yeah. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also. I love this verse. Trust also in him, and he'll do it. Ha! Yes. Verse 6. He'll bring forth your righteousness as light and your judgment as the noonday. He gonna do it. And then I got one more. It's not on your slides. Melita, Psalm 46, 8 through 11. Psalm 46, 8 through 11. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to be through. Psalm 46, 8 through 11. Turn, flip, scroll. Psalm 46, 8 through 11. It reads, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. Verse 9, he makes wars to cease. He makes wars to cease, to end, to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two, burns the chariots with fire. Verse 10, cease striving. King James says, be still. So my grandfather used to tell me when I was doing too much, boy, sit down somewhere and be still. Be still and know. Now watch that word right there, cease striving, be still. It literally means two other meanings. Watch, and oh Jesus, relax. Here's another synonym, let go. Relax and know. Let go of them receipts and know. Stop going back and forth with people. You're not reliable, no way. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Do y'all believe that? Somebody just say, it's all good. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I honor you. You could have left us. You could have caused us to falter, but you're faithful, and we're grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, I challenge you to make hearing the Word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.